all animation is based on change, I think. So you're changing one thing into another, and that lasts about 5 minutes, and then you can't stand it anymore. However interesting it is, you just unplug after 5 minutes. And the other kind of animation is drawings or images, computer images, that walk and talk, which that will sustain for 100 minutes, 72 minutes if the kids have to have a pee, isn't it? That's the sort of rule. So obviously we're going to choose images that walk and talk.
And welcome back, everybody, to Acme Podcast Incorporated. I'm your host, Kaiju Upper, and as usual, I'm joined by my co-host, Cenk.
Hello!
Hi, everybody. How's it going? When did we do Transformers?
Month-ish.
Hold on,
if it's less than a month, then we win.
It is less than a month. It was the 20th of January. We're working on it.
We are the most least bi-weekly podcast.
I mean, you know.
Life.
If we were getting paid for this, then, you know.
If I was getting paid dividends, I would quit my day job.
I would also quit my day job. This podcast actually made money.
I have a boom mic and everything set up. What was it? The finest herbal teas before and after every session.
We'd make a Discord. We'd have a stream. You know?
I have to clean. Oh god, yeah. I have to fucking make sure the. The way it's set up, you don't really see the boglands that are the floor of my living quarters, my living space. But you only see, like, my poster set, which is a little sparse, but it works. You gotta have the cool posters. Yeah. You gotta have the cool background where everyone's like, yay, this guy likes this and this and that. Or, hey, I know that thing.
Yeah, like, if you were to look at my background, you would see, like, whenever I build a Gunpla, you know, like, the art on the front of the box?
Oh!
I cut it out, and I put it on my wall.
That's sick. Wait, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, and then, yeah, I have my Tom Parkins art print, and I have my wave of Kanagawa One Piece painting thing.
Oh, cool.
I have my, the D&D dragon species poster, I have my old Yu-Gi-Oh poster, I have a poster of Guyver the bio-boosted armor.
Ah, fuck, that's cool.
And then I have my Godzilla posters all over the walls, and I also have a map of the Breath of the Wild map over, and I also have a Mononoke poster, Princess Mononoke.
All right, what do I have on my wall? Of
you can also see my Gunpla behind me.
Of note on my wall, just for like a jank mood board, is a big ass poster I got in college of the rapper Action Bronson. Because he's Albanian. And I thought that was neat. It is one of those little cutouts that they used to put in, like, magic bundle boxes for Kaladesh. Which is no longer called that anymore because of reasons.
Hmm.
It was a whole thing. The set, still we call that forever. It's like, they're not going to erase the name. But moving forward, the set's not, like, the plane is called Avishkar now, because the word Kaladesh, like, could be translated as something, like, derogatory. And from my understanding, I was still a variety of things from, like, both, like, local game stores and, like, actual news outlets. And whichever one is true really depends on who did their job more, and at this point, I doubt either did, but apparently it was like a marketing firm was called in and they said, oh, this could be construed as that, and Wizards kind of doubled back and did it, is what I heard. Another story is just that they actually like were always wanting to change it and decided that they'd use like the most recent set now. I'm getting into magic fucking talks. The point is, it's a poster from a bygone era.
time long forgotten.
A time where you get full art lands all in foil instead of just only half of them being full arts. Actually, where the concept of a full art land was only limited to Zendikar. Now every set fucking has them.
Well, actually, before Zendikar, full art lands were only in unsets.
Oh, yeah. Man!
That's where they started.
Man!
More you know.
I feel like the card game I like is getting worse. Or just less, like, magical.
Less recognizable.
And, well, you know, hey, in 4 months we get Universes Beyond Final Fantasy.
That'll be cool.
I will be down for it if characters I like are represented. If there's like a billion, imagine if this is like a fucking just entirely a legend set, like it's just characters.
I mean, I hope we get we're gonna get all the summons, I assume. We're gonna get Sephiroth. We're gonna get Cloud. We're gonna get
the main
characters of a bunch of different
Final Fantasy every character who I think is in Dissidia. As in, so every, like, good guy, every Warrior of Light and their bad guy counterparts.
So, Tidus.
Tidus and Jekt, like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Jet's a transform card, he turns into either the Final Aeon or Sin. You know, Garland, the Cecil.
I think it'd be cool if we get Garland. But we can also get a Jack card.
Also get Chaos.
Is there a way to they can bring the melt mechanic, have like... Because Garland is Chaos, and Jack is Jack Garland. But Jack Garland is not Chaos.
Yes.
Final Fantasy rocks.
Well, we'll also be getting 14 characters as well. It's probably going to be like... We've heard rumors that Yshtola is one of the Final Fantasy 14 reps, so...
I feel like of the like, the Scion, she's the most recognizable. Or, like, just...
Yes.
Bamf on to. And they'll probably use old Emmett Squilch as the bad guy. We've seen card art, so he is gonna be in that set.
Yeah, there's gonna be Chocobos, there's gonna be Moogles. We'll see. I'm looking forward
to it. I'm excited for just the side products, because I remember a long time ago just buying, like... the Final Fantasy TCG sleeves for my commander decks, and those sleeves look fucking awesome. Quality wise, suck ass. So some ultra pro quality like Final Fantasy card art sleeves would be nice.
I wish that the Final Fantasy card game had been good.
Hey, some stores I go to still sell it.
The thing about the Final Fantasy card game is that it could have, like, it has the brand power to be a good card game. Just, you know. I don't know.
We can't all be One Piece.
We can't all be One Piece. Or Pokemon.
I suppose I could say, I guess, because this is sort of what
or
I've been...
Lorcana.
This is sort of what I've been doing, but I guess what I've really actually been doing is card game related. Playing One Piece TCG with my IRLs.
Ah, fun.
Yeah, I was able to join... Because I've only been officiating games, because I just did not realize we were getting into the card game. I was kind of pissed, because I, big card game guy, was not told we were playing the Hip and Happen New Thang until much later. So I had to order a bunch of my cards, just, like, very slowly. But, yeah. All my stuff came in. I'm building an Egghead deck. I'm playing Control! Who would have thunk? The places you'll go when if you want to play your funny little Blorbos and little robots and your funny little Albert Einsteins with big giant apple heads. But yeah, it's a very fun game. It's very intuitive. It takes a lot from everything because it has prize cards / you know the the security just like life cards. It has life cards.
Yeah, or shields in Kaijudo.
I think you'd be Duel Masters.
Kaijudo.
I'll remember this. But
Duel Masters was bad.
Duel Masters was awesome in Japan.
Yeah, and in Japan, it was called Kaijudo.
Wait, really?
Yes.
Huh.
They changed it to Duel Masters in America, and then when they rebranded with Kaijudo, they called it Kaijudo in America again when they did Kaijudo Rise of the Duel Masters. And then it failed again in the US, and it's still called Kaijudo.
Huh.
Now more you know.
More you know. I don't know where I was going last story. More, no, you know, we played... I played my actual real, paper One Piece game. Literally during, after the halftime show at the Super Bowl... At the Super Bowl with my friends, we were watching it, and me and my buddy were like, "Oh, hey, well, I'll just do a round now because this game's over." Additional side note,
Additionally, you know, I didn't think that you could further destroy a glass crater, but apparently. Kendrick Lamar found a way to further destroy a glass crater.
Any Kendrick fans from Philadelphia, you just got to, see Jesus come back. Because, first of all, congratulations to the Birds. I am not a Philadelphia fan, unless it is against the Chiefs, and unless it is against Travis Kelce, who I just don't like. I don't hate him, I just don't like him. That's what I do with Taylor Swift, by the way. It's just, I just don't like him.
But anyway. But
yeah, fucking extremely just... I'll give it like this. It was one of those Super Bowls where people who don't even watch football tuned in and were like, oh, that was wow. Two different, groups of people are fucking destroyed, decimated, got their asses beat.
Yeah.
Only one can show their face on television. The other is crying in a room right now.
Yeah,
but yeah, that was sort of my biggest thing was playing One Piece and watching football.
The football. Well, you also went to MAGFest.
Oh yeah, I mean, okay. Well, did I not talk about MAG last time?
No, you were going to MAGFest.
Oh shit, that's right. Fuck.
Yeah, because it's been so long since we recorded. You were going to MAGFest when we last recorded, but you've been since been and gotten.
Oh
back
yeah, shit. I guess I could do the 5 minutes of MAGFest talk, which is I did what I always do, which is walk around, sit down, walk around, sit down, walk around a bunch, and sit down and walk around a bunch, which is kind of boring, but there were things in between. There were things I was sitting down for. No, MAG was very fun. It was just a very long experience, and the nitty gritty is, I got invited to a Mega Man cosplay group, because I went as, me and my friend actually went together as Landon Chodge from Battle Network, and apparently we looked, I think it was just that we were just repping the series in such a way where it's like, hey, yeah, you guys like Mega Man so much, hey, welcome to we want to invite you to the Discord, to this, cosplay Discord we have. It's like, oh, okay. I myself am not, an active cosplayer. I do I love the appeal of closet cosplays, of doing stuff from what you already own and just making it kind of work. And for Lan, a lot of shit I just owned. I like white shirts, black shirts with yellow stripes, a orange vest. I just owned it in my wardrobe and never had a really reason to wear it. And getting to put it together and seeing it actually kind of work it felt nice. Felt better than buying $100, or $120, shitty costume from some random, AliExpress or, Temu.
Mm-hmm.
Making the headband was actually the best part, because I actually, got to learn how to sew with my grandma a bit. Actually, I asked for her help. She is, whatever I need a cosplay thing that is, I can't find it, she's always kind of came in clutch, and either sewn it for me or shown me how to sew, the little stuff, and this is the first time where I actually got to sew in, the patch in. I don't know. The headband looks a little rough, but there's something about it, I just found all this stuff.
There's heart.
I felt nice. It felt nice making all this stuff, and that's kind of the fun of it. And it's also why I wore that shit fucking, I think 3 days in a row. Or actually, no. 2 days, and then I had the bandana on with me, just all of the convention, because I was just so proud of wearing it.
It's like when I got my Godzilla costume for Halloween, then I wore it for the entire month. When I was five.
I was gonna say damn, it must have been a really cool fucking costume. Oh, you meant five, okay.
No, when I was 5 years old, I wore it for an entire month.
Oh, that sounds so funny. See, if I was like a parent and my kid wanted to wear a Godzilla costume all day, I was like, I can't stop him.
It became a problem when I had to go back to school.
I would let you, I would have let you wear it for the first day, and then we would have had to talk about, honey, you can't have the Godzilla costume. I'm sorry, but Godzilla has to seek a higher education. Godzilla doesn't go to school. He's busy destroying Tokyo. Do you want to stop him mm-hmm. destroying Tokyo?
Oh, man.
No, then let him go back to his job so that you can pursue your higher education in peace. Don't worry.
Let him be free.
He'll come to our cities one day, just not today. That's how I'd say it. That sounds so, like...
No, what happened was is that, like, it needed, like, honey, sweetie, I know you live for custom, but it is getting a little dirty. Let me wash it for you. Okay. And she washed it and conveniently lost it until next year's Halloween.
Okay. I mean, that's kind of like, that's the easier answer. That's the easier answer minus the extra steps of just, like, the baby talk, but, like...
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, what else happened? Oh yeah, I ran into some guy, some like Irish dude. I don't know. He's like a YouTube channel. That was pretty.
Yeah, some guy with a.
Some guy.
I thought it was Peg Leg Coyote.
Peg Leg Coyote. No, it's like he's like on this. He's like a. I don't know. Some guy.
Yeah, I don't know. So, no, you met iPod Wolf.
I wanted not say it. I would be like, yeah, just some guy.
No, but like, no, you gotta say it because people who don't know.
Oh yeah, I met Super iPod Wolf, the very very pleasant, very small YouTuber, very very just like upstanding guy who I could tell wanted to say like, I wanted to enjoy the convention, but he really doesn't like saying no. He's just, like, just actually, like, he's... I thought his, like, YouTube, like, personality was, like, okay, a little bit played up. He's probably, like, a little grumpy. It's like, no, he's just, like, a very chill, like, kind of sweet guy who kind of does overextend himself a little bit. And I felt...
A little too nice for his own
good. Yeah, I felt so bad. I was like, yeah, I actually made sure to just wrap up a conversation just because I realized he wanted to get somewhere. I felt so bad, but, like, I'm glad I at least noticed. Very sweet and just... Oh yeah, and we talked about Battle Network. That's the thing is, like, when he realized we were Battle Network, we just chatted for about 5 minutes, and then a bunch of people started joining in the group, and I was like, oh god, no, like that's when I was like, oh my god, I'm so fucking sorry, John Ipetchwolf, I'm sorry for attracting the vultures, I'm sorry for announcing that you are fresh carrion to be nibbled on, I am sorry for being one of the many birds, and you Prometheus bringing fire unto us.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive me for eating your entrails, but they are quite delicious. All this to say, very cool guy. Roundabout way of me saying he was very cool and awesome, and I hope he enjoyed his mag as much as I did.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that is pretty much all I have done in the last 3-ish weeks.
Okay.
How about you?
So... I've also, not to get too much into it, also played card games as usual. The EX8 for Digimon Woo! Came out, Chains of Liberation.
We love Liberator! I still haven't fucking read it!
In English. And that was a set I was really looking forward to because, number one, Gallantmon, the new Gallantmon stuff is in their Gallantmon X antibody. And I'm like... Finally, I'm no longer huffing copium. Gallantmon is a good deck now. It's like, thank Christ. And then the other one was the dinosaur deck. The Tyrannomon Dinomon deck, which came from Liberator.
Obligatory gift for you, by the way.
Yeah, I see that. And I'm like, well, this was the deck made for me.
Welcome back, Dino Smasher's Fury, times three.
Welcome back, Dino Smasher's Fury, times three.
Mm. Oh, that's just you.
Yeah, it is.
That's literally, it's in the name.
It is in the name. It's in this dino
it's a kaiju that could be an emperor and also a king.
One might say. But yeah, the deck still needs a little help. Like, it needs more stuff, but I'm still enjoying it. And I'm enjoying Gallantmon being good. I'm just sick of one very specific deck, but to get into it would be to get too nitty gritty.
Just so that I know, like, for context, is it fucking, what was it? Oh my god, Magna X?
No, Shoto Mother.
That's a new one. I have not kept up with the meta. You know what? We'll get into it later, but I feel the sludge in that. In you saying that, I'm sure there's some gunk.
All you need to know about Shoto Mother, the new Shoto, the 4-cost Shoto, or is it a 3-cost Shoto? The Shoto Kazama. He can give a Digimon blocker and piercing, regardless of trait.
Oh.
And so what? The Shoto Mother deck does. It is a black control deck that uses stuff like Shadow Seraphimon and other black and yellow cards, and its egg is the D Reaper Mother, and it basically makes a 15K unaffected by all effects. D Reaper Mother have blocker. And then it uses stuff like the Edamon that taunts.
Oh my god.
And then it blasts into stuff like the Metal Seedramon Ace or the Shadow Seraphimon Ace.
This is just some fucked up toolbox of everything, but like...
Yep.
Oh, this sounds like the new fucking Ukomon for Tamers.
They need to trait lock that fucking card.
It's just... Yeah, is it more just like... It seems like way too splashable, but the one thing that it splashes into... Like the deck does not work without this guy. But when you have him there, it just makes it all, like, lock in disturbingly well.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds fucking retro. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, Mother Shoto, like, it's also called Mother Control.
Mother Control.
Oh, yeah, hold on. Here's a... If you want to look at it, there's a deck list right there. Just called Mother Control.
Yeah, I can see why you as a Gallantmon player kind of fucking hates this.
I hate this no matter what.
I mean, I meant more just like the fucking the art of the fucking D Reaper Mother. Like, it's literally canon. It's canon. That's so fucking funny.
Yeah, but then the other thing, there's two other things. One is, you ever. Okay, YouTube has this thing where, like, 99% of the time when they recommend you a video, it's like, YouTube, why are you recommending me this? You know? And then every once in a while, they'll recommend you something that's like, hold on. I think you have something here. There's a video, I forget the name of the... I need to find actually the name of the guy who... Give me a moment. Yeah, there's a video I watched by a Mr. Matt, Comic and Manga History. And he talked about the video is called Only Americans Don't Know About This Groundbreaking Comic. And I found out about a legendary European comic that I had never heard of. Are you familiar with Corto Maltese?
A comic.
Corto Maltese. Corto Maltese.
Let me just make sure. No, I don't think I've heard of this.
So Corto Maltese is in the vein of like Tintin or like those like adventure stories, and it's about a pirate by the name of Corto Maltese. And it is about his like it's like I said, Indiana Jones / Tintin style adventure series of books, and they are, for the time, very revolutionary because they depicted Native peoples in a respectable way. Their characters are nuanced and well written. It has a lot of like deep historical context associated with its stories, despite being published in a quote children's publication because you couldn't get it printed anywhere. And there are many people who believe that the Cortal Maltés comics are like the first graphic novels. Like the concept of the graphic novel is birthed by Cortal Maltés. Now, I obviously reading this comic would be very difficult because it's a European comic. However, on YouTube right now, someone has posted full length. Apparently, there are multiple movies made of Cortal Maltés and some of his like adventures. Someone posted all of those movies, fully subbed, in HD, and you can watch them like right now. And I was like, I would find this like interesting, and from a historical thing, and like, oh, I'll check it out. It's kind of cool vibe. It is a cool vibe. But I'm going to be honest. One of the reasons I was very curious about them was for a very shallow reason. Cortal Maltés might be one of the most beautiful and handsome animated men I've ever seen in my goddamn life.
Yeah, I wanted to sort of like ask about that. Those sideburns are fucking insane.
Look, I want you to, these are like some shots from like the one of the movies I watched. I'm posting them here. Look at this man.
Oh my.
He is so goddamn beautiful. Oh my god. It makes me upset.
Why is it that like pirates traditionally just like people who are at sea so long their teeth fucking fall off, or just, you know, pirates are always given like the, okay, well, we have to hit them with a glam stick and they're the most beautiful motherfuckers ever.
Mm-hmm.
Swashbucklers do not look like this. And yeah, I cannot, I simply do not care because look at him.
He's so goddamn beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
By the way, if you were ever curious about the movies, here's all the movies if you wanted to watch them.
Yeah, this is probably going to be like my next, what I did in the background.
Yeah, they're all English subs, thank God. And they're in French. I only watched the one movie, which is the first one, which is The Secret Court of the Arcanes. The plot is kind of like all over the place. And Cortal Maltés kind of like gets like thrown around like a rag doll and is just like, okay, I'm here now. And I'm clearly missing a lot of the historical context for what's happening in the story. But the visuals and the vibes are immaculate, so I kind of don't care. And it made me, I'm like, you know, maybe I'll look up the historical context later and try and get some context. It's super interesting. Makes me want to watch Tintin also again.
Tintin's cool.
Tintin is cool. Did you ever see the movie? The Secret of the Unicorn?
The Secret of the Unicorn? Or no, wait. Oh, yeah. I was thinking last year. Corp, for a second. I was like, oh, no, I've never seen like that Tintin movie, no.
Yeah, we should watch that. We should watch that with, like, no, something with some more vibe. We'll,
Obelix and Asterix. Talk about that. Asterix, I don't know. Those are
Asterix and Obelix?
The way around. That'd make my dad happy. That he, yeah. Him being resident European person, like, that's, those are two guys that everybody knows if you're in Europe.
Yeah. You know Tintin, you know Asterix, Obelix, and you know Donald Duck.
Oh, fucking Donald, it's crazy that Donald Duck and, like, the Three Amigos are, like, just popular, like, everywhere but the U.S.
Mm-hmm. And Scrooge. Like, Scrooge is, like, popular here, but, like, not as popular as he is in, like, Europe.
They're like, they're ducks.
Like, they're ducks.
What can I say? European world doesn't like the rat. Doesn't like the mouse. Why?
Yeah, but the yeah. Cortal Maltés is an incredibly influential comic, as I found out in that video. Apparently, it is so influential that there is a original in like in DC Comics, they made a reference to Corto Maltese, like at a small island in the DC universe called Corto Maltese, and it is still referenced in DC's greater universe today.
I remember there was like a Catwoman comic I read. This is the fucking most insane fucking tie-in, but there's a Catwoman comic I read where she goes to Corto Maltese, to fight Snowflame.
I am Snowflame, and cocaine is my god, and I am the instrument of its power.
White hot ecstasy burns through my veins. Yeah, no, that's where I heard the name from. Yeah, because they're like,
for those who don't know about Snowflame, look it up.
We have been going on too many diatribes and side fucking trips. We can't have Snowflame sandwiched amongst the Super Bowl and card games and Kendrick Lamar's victory and the major beef between the evil one, the Canadian one.
I wouldn't call it a victory, I'd call it a nuclear destruction.
Mass extinction event.
The fact that two of Hit Drake's exes are dancing with Kendrick on that
stage. Oh, really?
Yes.
That's a new one. Oh my god.
There's layers to this. Anyway, can't get into that. The other thing that I watched was I think I mentioned that I've been planning on watching it. I started watching Beyblade X. The current Beyblade series. Yes.
That's like Beyblade way anime. After like Burst and stuff. Like it's not Burst, something completely different.
Yeah. Beyblade X is the currently running Beyblade anime.
I meant as in the same way we have like OG Metal series and then Burst, like X is like new universe.
It came out 2023 and it is currently running.
Okay.
So Beyblade X, just to like give a primer, Beyblade X takes place is another same world, you know, Beyblade is the center of everything, and the crux of it is the center of all pro blading is there's a place called X Tower where all the pro bladers are, and you have to climb your way up through the 100 floors of the X Tower to become the greatest Beyblader in the world. And you have to, and you're a you can become like a pro blader as like a like, and they kind of like do it like a sports team, and like you have to have a sponsor, you have to do promotional events, you have to have like a social media presence, and like they kind of explore all the aspects of being like not just playing Beyblade but also being a professional like athlete.
Okay, that's neat.
And for one of the first times in a long time, it feels like this is an ensemble cast. Like, Metal had, like, a couple of, like, important characters, but it never felt like... I haven't watched Burst or Shogun Steel or any of those, but, like...
Well, Shogun Steel's not real.
The original series, it was like they were a team, and that was kind of like, that was, like, Tyson was the quote main character, but like
they all have their bit beast things. The four Heavenly Kings, Four Directions, yeah. Like that was all points. Like he's in front, but they're all a direction. Like they're all doing something, and they're all like carrying their own weight.
Yes, yeah, and that is what this Beyblade is also focusing on. Like every pro blader, their teams of three usually, and for the first time in like, I think ever, one of the main characters is a girl. Like she's a female character. Not only is she like the main female character, she's like competent and like really good at being a Beyblader.
And doesn't get sent to Cancun.
And she's my favorite character in the show. And it's really and like so. Okay, let me just go over it real quick. This is like first episode spoiler, so it's not like that big of a spoiler to tell you. The show starts off with our quote unquote our character that we kind of like is our like
insert.
What's the word? He's not our insert character, but he's our like for a long time he's sort of like the character we see the story from his perspective a lot of the time. His name is Kazami Bird. He is like, I am protagonist shonen protagonist man, Kazami Bird. He's even voiced by Asta's voice actor from Black Clover in the Japanese. Shows up to X City with his two teammates. He's like, yeah, I'm going to be the best. Loses his first Beyblade battle instantly. Has his Beyblade destroyed. And goes and cries in the middle of an alley. And his friends leave him to go back to the country.
Huh. That sounds shockingly relevant to what to things in the future. Shockingly relevant.
And then he meets a guy named Common X, who is this weird masked guy who wears who wants to form a new team to go to the top of Beyblade. Because, spoiler alert, Common X is a former pro named Exorosu. It's like X in Japanese, you know, like the Romaji kind of.
Common X would just be a better name than Exorosu. That sounds less made up.
Yeah, I don't know. He's Korosu Exu, K O R.
Michael McGeequax.
Korosu Exu. Like, his name is Jackson Cross in the English.
See, that's easier. Jackson Cross is like, I can get the fucking like weird X theming.
Yeah, and then Kazami Bird, I think it's called Robin Kazami.
That's actually not a bad like change. Maybe it sounds more. I don't know. Robin Kazami sounds like.
Yeah.
It feels nice.
Yeah, but X is a former pro, and the deal is that he was one of the members of the current best team in the world, and they got to the top, and he was like, "Oh wait, we're at the top now. Now what do I do?" And he realizes there's nowhere for him to go. There's no more excitement to be had. And he's like, wait, hold on. There's still one guy who I can go against. And that's just like his team captain, Ryugu Chrome. But he can't go against them because they're on the same team. So he's like, but wait, what if I quit the team and then hide my identity and then make a new team so I can climb to the top so I can finally have a Beyblade battle with him? And that's his motivation.
Could he not just like ask? Like an exhibition?
No.
Is it like against the rules, or is it just that nobody thought to try? No, whatever. This is hobby logic. It's about the honor, the blader's spirit. My question is: Do we have Beyblade spirits, or do we?
I'll get to that.
Oh God.
I'll get to that in a second. And then the third member, she's my favorite character, her name is Multi Nanairo. And the deal with Multi is that she is an influencer, and she has, like, does streams and everything. She has, like, 10 million subscribers. And Multi's whole concept is that she swaps her bays out a lot. Like, she has, like, a defense type, an attack type, and a stamina type. And depending on which bay she's using, she wears a different costume. And presents as either masculine or feminine.
Oh, I see why you like this cat. Oh.
She's awesome! Hold on, I need to show you her fucking... Also, her design rules. Most of the designs are fucking really great.
The gender fuckery stream character.
The gender fuckery stream character.
See, that sounds like a one-off character they'd meet, and then she'd come back later on in the season. But this is like a main character, so that means that they got
Yeah.
God.
This is her femme presenting outfit. And this is her mask presenting outfit.
That's really fucking funny.
It's so good. I love it. But anyway, love her. Love it.
There are two paths, Riddler or Catgirl.
There are two paths, Riddler or Catgirl. And then I'll answer the Bit Beast question first. So the deal is in No. This is so much dumber. This is so much dumber. So in professional Beyblade, in the professional stadiums, there's this thing called the 4X system. To make Beyblade battles more exciting, the 4X system will literally scan the Beyblade to like make holograms representing the Beyblade's attacks to make the battle like to represent the battle between the two Beyblades and, like, make wind and explosions and, like, the things that you see in old Beyblade shows to make the Beyblade battle better.
So it's just... So there's never... That's really... I'm trying to really think of it. It's like, okay, so they have all these, like... I feel like that's nothing, because that's like in Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, oh, it's just the holograms, but it's still shooting a fucking laser at you, and shit is still exploding, yes. And characters are so into it that they fall on their knees and are about to fucking die and shit.
Yes, that is exactly what happens.
Like, it's literally just like, how is this happening? Are they that strong? It's like, nah, man, it's just holograms. Oh, it's like, okay. But it's everyone else is still acting like it's real, because to them it
No, but it is making real things. That's the problem. Wait. Like, it is holograms, but also, like...
Oh, wait, it's sometimes, hard
light? Like, physical thing... Like, sometimes physical things will happen.
Oh, so it doesn't fucking matter. That's...
Like, in the most recent episode I watched, a Common X went up against, like, our first, like, quote-unquote antagonist. And when their Beyblades clashed, the entire stadium was, like, blinded with, like, white light, and there was hurricane force winds filling the stadium.
But they were virtual, right?
No, they were real. That was real hurricane force winds filling the stadium. And everybody was like, whoa, it's they're so fast and powerful that the 4X system can't handle it.
Wait, you say it like that, now I know what the 4X system is. It's the Scouter. It's there, so that when shit gets really real, they're like, the 4X can't handle this. That means this danger is real.
But also, it's like, yeah, I don't know.
But also, it totally can't handle that. They just slide it up to 2 instead of 1 to make things interesting.
Yeah, you'll have to watch it yourself.
Nah.
It is fun. There hasn't been anything absolutely fucking as stupid as anything from, like, OG Beyblade or Metal, yeah, except...
No Brooklyns or Ryugas?
No, there was that one episode where they opened the episode and they were Beyblading a Yeti. There was that one.
Like a Yeti or a guy?
An actual, for real life fucking Yeti. I'm not joking. Like a real ass Yeti.
I want to hop in because... I have been craving some Hobby Annie. I have not watched any in a while. Like, it's just stupid, fun background stuff. Like, actual fun.
Yeah, no, it's like nothing. It's not gonna blow your mind, but it's like, yeah, this is fun and entertaining. It's Beyblade, you know?
I don't know. Nothing over the top, like the Metal series. Because that show, like... I feel like, especially compared to, like, maybe OG, that show got, like... not violent, per se, just, like... It's just those two. It's just Ryuga. It's just Ryuga. No one is going to match Ryuga in like terms of just actual fucking thug shit. Actual Ryuga. Fucking just monstrous, devious, evil shit for the sake of nothing more than just I'm better than you. I'm going to blow up your Beyblade. I'm going to kill your career at where you stand. Wasn't him, but like just in the same vein, like Dark Nebula, just. They will step on your shit and fucking twist their fucking... their toes on it too and then spit on your fucking Beyblade as it's broken and crusted and dusted after it got blown the fuck up twice.
Ryuga, no one will ever be glazed up more in Beyblade.
Because he deserves it! Because he's fucking evil and the best and had an actual literal like 33-2 like win-loss record. He only lost twice. What? Both because of plot.
He lost against God and the Power of Friendship.
God and the Power of Friendship and the main character. Like, actually. Mm-hmm. Anybody else, like, cleared. But that's... I can't. I feel like Doji right now. I'm sorry. He's the GOAT.
Again, I know this is a low bar, but, like, the fact that this show has... multiple female characters that are actually, like, good at Beyblade and are relevant to the story is...
Oh, no, that, like, puts it over... That honestly might put it, like... In terms of just fucking being interesting as a not... Like, and not repetitive as, say, like, the other series, that's putting it over me if I want to check it out and see if that's, like, a thing that holds.
the one thing I want to say about it, and this is that is really fucking funny to me. Common X is like, he's so glazed he can't lose because he's a former pole vaulter. Multi is like super fucking amazing, and she, for, before she became a pole vaulter, she was a one person team and won every single one of her matches. She's like amazing. Kazami Bird,
dog shit.
Our main, our quote unquote main dude, who like we follow. The running gag, it seems, with Kazami Bird. I am 25 episodes in. This man has not won a single goddamn game of Beyblade.
Oh my god.
And they keep pointing it out. Everybody's like, wow, why is he even on the team? He sucks. And it's like, no, don't worry, Bird. You'll get there one day. And he keeps working on it and never gives up. But he still keeps losing. And the show keeps showing us that he is really good at all these other things that aren't Beyblade.
What's the bit here? What's the angle?
The angle apparently seems to be his character is all about, like, constantly striving to improve and never giving up. And eventually you will win, and he does. It just takes 50 episodes. Apparently.
What?
He doesn't, from what I've heard, this man eventually does win his first Beyblade battle 50 episodes in.
See, now that you've told me, it's not a matter of like, the suppressor, it's like, I want to, how far in the dirt does he get dragged? Because, like...
Yeah, on one hand, I'm like, man, that bums me out that, like, I kind of, now I know he won't win for a long time, but also, like, I want to see him win, though. I do want to see him win.
Maybe that's the thing is, like, we've had all these, like, we've had our Gingas and our Tysons who, like, Tyson lost some stuff. Ginga, I feel like, he just was actually, like, cracked after like, season two onwards. He just, like, did not lose. But now it's, like... I didn't watch, like, Vault? I forget his name. The kid from fucking Burst onward. I feel like those characters were very much, like, if you're on the good guy's side, unless you're the goofy, like, secondary guy, you'll probably, like, be fine. Just having one of your main characters be the constant loser, but he still gets up and Rock Lee's his shit, like... That's interesting. That's kind of really interesting, and I like this dynamic of, like, one person who is just eccentric but fucking can win anything on her own, other guy who is literally pretending to be in the minor leagues just because he wants a run back, just because he wants, like, a potential matchup that he can't have because of the rules, which is so fucking stupid, and so fucking, like, petty and silly to me, and then, like, Country Bumpkin Kid, who, like, actual bottom of the barrel, but he really, really, really tries hard. It sounds like a fun dynamic.
And then it is a fun dynamic. I love the characters. And the thing that, like, gets me is that, like, it's like, what, I think it's like 20, it's like 15, 16 episodes in, and, like, Bird, like, he still doesn't want to match, and, like, Common X and Multi get all this, like, you know, everybody wants to start their autograph, and he's like, well, I guess while they're getting autographs, I can go buy groceries. You know, like, they're not going to hound me because nobody knows who I am. I'm just some guy. And then he runs into this little girl who wants his autograph. It's like, why do you want my autograph? Well, because I'm your biggest fan.
Aww.
And this one little girl is his only fan.
No, it's good.
It's so good. And she made merch! She made merch of him and everything!
Yay! Fuck! I wish you didn't tell me that! But now I want to watch it because I want to see it! It's
so good!
Oh god, no, this is... Okay, there we go. We're back. Hobby shows, they've always been back, but now we're really back. I am back to Hobby Annie's!
Yeah, no, it's a fun time. Like I said, it's not gonna blow you away or anything, but, like, it's a fun time. It's, like, it's fine. It's a good watch, you know. I've kind of blasted through a lot of it, and it's just a fun, silly time. Because of the nature of Beyblade, the Beyblade battles being team battles, a lot of the singular battles are a lot shorter than most Beyblade series.
Honestly, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, like, you'll get, like, really short battles that actually are more indicative of real-life Beyblade battles. And in that sense.
They show off a move and then someone gets knocked out. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, kind of, sort of, and that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, if the premise is just team battles, then yeah.
And there's some strategy and there's some cool stuff, and like I've as the show has gone on, there's been like more stupid and wackier stuff that I'm kind of used to from Beyblade. Like I'm not gonna spoil anything, but like there's some stuff.
There's some. Is there anything close to a fucking Yeti that in terms of hoo ha?
One of our first antagonists is trying to, like, forcibly have the Beyblade world evolve by, quote, creating a Beyblade time shift.
Huh?
I'm not going to explain it. Watch it.
A Beyblade time... What? Huh? A
Bey time shift. I'm not going to explain it.
Is he going to fucking reinvent the wheel, or... No, just...
Kind of!
Oh my god! Oh my fucking god! Is he gonna invent the wheel?
I want to make the world see this true speed of Beyblade and make it evolve faster than it ever has before.
What is he gonna fucking do? Replace the wheel
with
the...
I won't tell you what he does. Oh my... You have to watch.
Is this some, like, fucking Vanguard, like, G shit? Like, he wants to, like... Turn back the... Okay, fuck it. Let's just keep going.
Well, watch it. I'm not going to spoil anything else. Go watch it.
Nonsense. Anyways, sports is a good set. Sports has been on our mind a lot. Real life...
Yeah, sports has been on our mind a lot. Hey.
Otherwise.
We're gonna take like a 5-minute break. But when we get back, we're going to talk about Haikyuu.
Oh, yeah. Da, 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 da.
And welcome back, everybody.
Welcome.
Sports. This is our first sports anime that we've ever talked about. We talked about Blue Lock, like, offhandedly, but, like, this is the first one we've done, like, a, you know, proper look at.
I can't speak for your episode on Blue Lock, but I will say this certainly looks... phenomenal compared to things. Mm. How old is the show again? 2015?
2016? The original anime came out 2014, yeah. Wow.
Almost fucking a decade ago.
Yep. And the manga ended in 2020.
That's crazy. Is it not still going, the anime, or is it like...
The anime, they just did the movie, which was one of the national games. And so there are, I believe there are 2 or 3 more games in the manga that have yet to be animated.
Mm-hmm.
And then the epilogue. And as far as I'm aware, they're working on them right now.
Oh, wow. So it's still going. In terms of the anime.
In the anime in February of 2024, Dumpster Battle movie came out, which I didn't know it had come out until I was watching the show for the episode. So Haikyuu was a Japanese manga series written and illustrated by Haruichi Furitate. It was serialized in Shueisha and Weekly Shonen Jump. And it ran from February 2012 to July 2020, with chapters collected in 45 volumes, and the anime, as we've mentioned, aired in 2014 and is currently still airing, and it was done by Production IG.
The goats.
And there are 4 seasons and the movie. There are also OVAs that are compilations. We watched the dub for this. I originally watched it in sub, so, you know, just to like change it up a little bit, I watched the dub. I love the dub, actually. The dub's great. So Shoyo, Hinata is voiced by, in Japanese, Ayumi Murase. And then in English, it's Bryson Bogus. I recognize him.
I think this is definitely Texas, like, if not Funimation, then like mixed Funimation Sentai, like Okatron, like Sentai film works, like voice cast.
Yeah.
People from Texas, I know for a fact. This is like that talent pool.
Yeah, we got Kaito Ishikawa as Tobio and Scott Gibbs, like Kaito in Japanese, Scott Gibbs in English. Tsukishima is voiced by Koki Uchiyama in Japanese, and in English he's voiced by Laraldo Anzalduo. Wow, that's a fucking hard name. Tadashi is voiced by Soma Saito, and then Cameron Bosch in English. I'll just go over the Karasuno mainly. Daichi is voiced by Satoshi Hino and Justin Doran in English. Sugawara is voiced by Miyu Irino, and then Adam Gibbs also voices him. Adam Gibbs voices I wonder if Adam and Scott Gibbs are related.
It'd be funny if they were related and they both voiced the centers. That's something. Yeah.
Asahi is Yoshimasa Hosoya in Japanese, and Orlanders Jones. And then Nishinoya is Nobuhiko Okamoto and Greg Ayers.
See, those are two names I know for a fucking fact, because Greg Ayers just did a lot of shit. A lot of shows I watched, he was, especially like stuff that Sentai Films works dubs, he's like a mainstay there.
Yeah.
So the Japanese voice, sure. I think you may all know him as a certain little explodey fellow from a certain little show about a certain Sky High ripoff.
Yeah, a certain Sky High ripoff.
But yeah, that's the voice of fucking Bakugo. And again, the best character.
Mm-hmm.
My personal favorite.
Yeah, and then we've got Tanaka, who's voiced by Yu Hayashi in Japanese, and Greg Cole in English. I'm just trying to go over the Karasuno main.
You could just, if you want to do, like, just some standouts, like English cast, that's fine, too.
Who voices the coach?
I'm going to take a wild guess, and you can correct me. Is it not Justin Cook?
Hold on. Is it Ukai? It's David Wald.
David Wald. Is his name. Damn it. Close enough.
Keishin Ukai.
Yeah, it's not Justin Cook.
It's David Wald. I fucking love him.
I thought he did not have the same kind of like growly like range like your Yusuke Urameshi's, but it was definitely like that's he seems like he knows how to play. Like, this sounds like the voice of an actual fucking coach I had like in actual high school who just did not give a fuck about anything.
Every time I cackled hearing him say, number one, like, get your head in the game, Ginger, and like, there's no excuse for being late to the practice man bun, calling Itzahi man bun.
I feel like there's a lot of it was pretty much just him saying, get your head out of your ass, or something like that. Like, it was just very, like, very coach talky, and not in like a lot of the dub isms in this were not that bad, and it made me like feel like, yeah, these guys are high schoolers.
It captured the boys will be boys energy, you know.
I especially like that, like, Asahi's voice is so, like, I think I like that his voice is a little bit deeper in the dub as opposed to the sub, because it, like, captures the, yeah, here's this guy who is, like, only 2 or 3 years older than you, but looks like he's 30, because growth spurts are a bitch. Puberty's a fucking bitch like that, and will, especially in Japanese society, a guy like Asahi, what I saw was, like, oh, he looks like a 20-something, and everyone's like, oh, that's a 30-year-old man, because Japan does not, like, really have, like, stubble man bunny culture like we do. Mm-hmm. That college boy look is not like as common in high school as it would be.
Yeah, I ended up watching season 2 again because I'm like, I love this show, and I don't remember if this was in season 1 or season 2, but there's a line in the dub that makes you crack up every time from Asahi when he And it's like, what? Listen, I'm a taller guy, and I what's wrong with wanting to look a little tough and wild?
That's season one. Yeah.
And Suga and Daichi are like, yeah. See, anybody who actually was tough and wild wouldn't say that, dude.
No, literally, he's just like, I want to look tough and wild. And it's like, he is literally the softest fucking dude in the entire group. And they point to Nishinoya and it's like, this is what a wild guy looks like.
God, I love Nishinoya. Okay, who's your favorite? Is it Nishinoya?
It's, in real talk, it's kind of all of them. I love them all. Right. They're so like, this is again like an ensemble unit. Like, they all feel like they do something. Even Tadashi too, whose like whole bit is just, everyone has a thing and I don't. Which is mm-hmm. that
he gets a thing later.
I have heard from my other like adept Haikyuu watcher friends that any character who doesn't do anything now is building up to some insane shit in the later like arcs, mainly like Tsukishima yeah. and Tadashi get some stuff. Cause...
listen, I love Tsukishima.
See, I've heard that from everybody. He's like, oh, he's the best. I'm like, really? He seems kind of just like a bitch. And I'm like,
yeah, you haven't seen Tsukishima's like arc yet. And oh, I fucking love Tsukishima. He's such a shit. I love him, but he's like, he's so cool. And you don't get to see that in season one. It's not until season two. And like, especially season three.
Like I just see right now that he's like very self aware because like that imagery of like of yeah like when they did the scene, like, there was a scene of the imagery and stuff of like the sun and the moon and he's all yeah. like and then I realized oh yeah wait his name is Tsukishima and then there's Shoya Hinata like oh that's
yeah Hinata means like sunshine
it's like whatever. Yeah like that's their whole deal and that's how they play is like he is like a front guard. But he's very laid back and like kind of like whatever. Whereas Hinata is like he's sort of like a striker, even though he's short. But he's always rushing to like be in places, and just like a difference in like philosophy and almost like diametric opposites. So it's kind of cool seeing them on a team together.
Yeah, and the first season really is just about we got to introduce our two main guys, our Tobio. And Hinata, we gotta use Kageyama and Hinata, like, we gotta introduce our two main guys and their, like, dichotomy, and we gotta get the team together, and we gotta do the first round of, like, the qualifiers, cool. And the team has to lose, because...
Yeah, they can't win.
That's the thing about any sports anime, is...
They have to...
They're never gonna win their first round.
They have to be humble, they have to... It's not about winning, it's about, like, the work to the win. It's about, like, climbing to the top. And I will say, this is the maybe it's because like I'm more familiar again with just hobby Annie as opposed to like more sports like volleyball sports because I know of sports anime and like the climbing and the training but this is the first time I was like really in depth watching like how they train and seeing like yeah it's a lot besides just endurance training and, like stamina stuff you really have to like know positioning in this fucking game. You have to know, yes. like, you have to be ready to swap on a dime, and even though the characters themselves are like, yeah, no, we all have our preferred roles, they can't, like, bitch about it, otherwise that's it, they lose the game.
Yeah, and then that's sort of like, and that's one of the things that Hinata focuses on, especially, like, way later in the story, where, like, Hinata is really fast, really good reflexes, cannot receive to save his life.
Yeah, well, exactly, because, like, he never had, like, an actual, like, team to play with, and once he did, he realized, well, no, then that's where his, like, his just disadvantage that he just actually can't fucking change of just being sure that everybody else comes into play. Like,
yes.
Like, even if he does receive, like, if he's, like, there's gonna be a guy who's much bigger than him shooting a fucking missile his way 60 miles per hour.
And that's why Nishinoya is here.
God, like
Nishinoya's the GOAT.
They're all I love how they all are like every single one of them has like a reason for their role, but Nishinoya in particular, the speech he had Great Air is such a good job. As much as I love fucking like Bakugo's VA doing like I'm sorry if I fucking blanked on the name, just like as much as I love like his yells, his like extreme hype moments. the parts where he's like explaining why he's a libero and why he enjoys it, and it's like I forgot how the line goes, but like, just the way he's like saying like, I'm not doing this because they made me do it or because I'm short, because I love it. This is the best part of being in volleyball, is being the guy who keeps the ball up every time. I'm the iron wall that keeps all together, and just I'll give my life for another serve. And I'm like, oh my god.
Remember, I'll always be behind you to get the ball back in the air.
It's not gay, and that's coming from me saying that. But also, it's not like
it's not gay.
It's not unemotive. It's emotional. It's really emotional. Okay, and whether that one way or the other, however you want to interpret it, is does not matter. It's sports. Sports are very emotional. Even the characters are like, I'm sorry for saying that dumb emotional crap, but it's like. It's just the mind state you get into when you and a bunch of other people who are all like seemingly incompatible or at odds with each other get together and say, "Yeah, we're gonna link up and we're gonna fucking beat those guys because they're the enemy team and we gotta win."
Mm-hmm.
That's the fucking core appeal of just sports in general, but especially like a sports anime where it's like, okay, results are predetermined. How you hype everybody up? By having all these guys be wild personalities who, like, just
bounce off each other.
They bounce off each other, and when they actually do lock up and do the insano shit, like a fucking blind quick attack, which even I, Johnny McDoesn't Know Volleyball, am like, oh, you can't do that. That's illegal. That's,
like,
it's not illegal. It's just impossible.
The quick, not only is it like, is he doing it blind, it's like, so because he's doing it blind, he's not aiming it. So Kageyama is point precision, changing the trajectory of the ball and firing at the exact right speed to put it where it needs to be in the exact moment that it needs to be there.
For like,
and that's fucking insane.
To explain in like different terms, imagine if you had. Imagine if you were. Imagine the story of David and Goliath, and he's throwing the sling at the Goliath. Except David, still short as fuck, has, let's say, a friend named fucking Jeff. And Jeff is the best fucking, I don't know, really good at passing stones. And is like, alright, David's not gonna be able to hit him because he can't hit for shit. However, I'm going to throw this stone into his sling so that when he, no matter what power he puts into it, it will hit him dead set. And that is what that's what Kageyama is doing. He is loading up the shot in a way where not only is it going to land at the right spot, but putting all his faith in that, yeah, this guy can't aim for shit, but when it comes to actual raw power, he's fucking perfect. He is doing the aiming for somebody else, and that's why he has him close his eyes. So, because as long as he has that power, no matter where he is or what he's about to do, he will line it up.
Yeah.
He will line it up to him. Yeah, line it up to him, and then line it up to him to line it in, like, a blind spot, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And that ability that they have will evolve over time.
I've already seen how it evolves, because now, like, towards the end of the season, like, Hinata's just started opening up his eyes to do, like, the sleight of hand stuff that fucks up guard. To aim! Aiming is a fucking upgrade!
Aiming is an upgrade. Also, not just aiming, but, like, I know they're gonna block, so I'm gonna go for a soft hit and bounce it off of their fingers.
And so that way Asui can, like, fucking decimate them. Because, again, like, again, high school boy, that is a grown-ass man. That is a grown-ass man hitting you because fucking puberty is bullshit. Puberty is the worst, is the most unfair Zenkai boost of them all.
Yeah, it's true. And I really think that the big, like, there's a lot of, like, in that sort of introduction arc, we kind of like our big character. I think our big character arc for the season, though, overall, is like Kageyama's whole used like is a really good player, but has an had an ego and trying to overcome his like own insecurities about his ego, and then realizing that he was holding his team back, and that Oikawa, like despite the fact that Kageyama's a genius, Oikawa is still like superior to him. And there's like this, and he's able to bring out the best in the team that Kageyama couldn't bring out anything out of, like over like the entire time that he played with them.
Well, that's
such an interesting like aspect of his character.
Well, that's not because he's best, or worse than Oikawa. It's because Oikawa is volleyball Hitler, apparently.
I mean,
have you do you know about the like the list?
No.
A friend of mine told me that there was like, I think it was, I don't know if it was Mal or Annie list, but it was like a, in 2020, like top five, like evilest anime characters. And like numbers, like top three, it was like Johann Liebert, Eren Jaeger, and you know who number one was?
Oikawa?
Oikawa. Because apparently, the like, being, okay, being good at volleyball and like, I guess, like, well, no, because here's the thing. Someone told me about that. I was like, that's kind of ridiculous. Like, he's not, those are, like, fucking serial killers. And this is a guy who plays, high school football, like, volleyball really good. But then I watched, like, the last three episodes, and it's not, like, he's not doing anything evil. But also, I was so into him. Like, this guy, like, I thought, all I thought was, this guy's evil. This guy is evil. Don't do it. I literally said no when he, like, got into like a serve that I wasn't predicting. I got so invested where I'm like, oh my god, this guy, don't do it. And then I'm realizing, wait, this is high school fucking volleyball. This is fake high school volleyball.
When Kageyama played right into his hands,
I literally relied. I like hand on my mouth, like
their weapon failed, and Kageyama played him like a goddamn fiddle. Like, the Kageyama was played like a goddamn fiddle, rather.
Yeah, like, that part, like, I just, again, maybe it's an extreme fucking, kind of an extreme fucking term, but I can see why people, like, who get invested in this show call this guy evil because of, like, relativity. Relative to what is happening in this show, yeah, that's fucking insane. Also, yeah, just watching one recording of a game and learning tells, like,
yeah,
that's crazy. Just it because is. One guy might be better than you one day, and he's not even like denying it. Like, yeah, no, Kageyama's gonna be better than me one day, but it's not today.
I'm gonna make him work for it.
I'm going to make him suffer for it. I'm like, see, I'm saying it out loud. It's like, do you see what I mean? Of like, I mean, grossly misunderstanding, like fucking evil than Johann Liebert. That's crazy. But also, like, for a moment, I believe that.
I think Oikawa is like, his dub voice actor really captures his like
evil,
his snide, shitty fucking personality.
I mean, he did. What was it? What's his name? Chris Kasson, I believe. He voices the evil shit kid character from Gantz. That's the voice I hear, and I'm like, oh my god, it's like, he's really good at voicing evil shit kid characters, because when they are, like, deviously evil, devious, that's the word, he's just devious. He is devious.
And here's the thing, it's like, and then you see how good Oikawa is, and then you find out, oh, they fucking got bodied. By Shiratori Zawa.
By Broly. By Broly High School.
By Ushiwaka.
When they say his name is Ushiwaka, I'm like, oh my fuck. Or his nickname is Ushiwaka. I'm like, oh, this dude's got like, This dude has some like fucking horseshit power. He's got devil gene in him.
You want to know what his bullshit power is?
Is it being 6'8"?
He's left-handed. That's it. That's his bullshit power.
No!
His
no!
potion power no! is that he's left-handed.
No, it's fucking El Drago! No!
I'm not going to tell you anything more. You'll find out.
No! It's the fucking Forbidden Bay!
Oh, I can't wait for us to get to the Shiri Torizawa game, because that game is so good.
What do you mean? I know you just told me, but I can't wait for how it's revealed in the show, and everyone's going to, like, I can't wait.
Explain why.
Why it matters. See,
why being left-handed matters.
That's why I'm like, why would that matter? It's just a hand position. But I'm also like, no, wait. How does that actually matter, though? Because I'm starting to think, like, a right-hand serve and a left-hand serve, it's like... Ugh!
You'll get there.
All this to say, volleyball is a very fucking cool sport.
It is. Legitimately.
It is actually the most cool sport. Volleyball and its sort of variants, like water polo and stuff. Stuff like that. Like, six players and then a rotating grid of, like, those players and, like... having your the libero, like your like spare, that style of like play is really interesting to me, because it's like I don't know, it's like cooler tennis. It's less what's the word, it's cooler. It's like a cooler version of tennis, because like tennis, when I think of court, I think of a tennis court or whatever, and it's like just, you know, 1v1, get the ball and then you know. If it gets in, the same kind of scoring system too. Of like, love deuces.
There's a deuce.
Deuce as opposed to like that, but that's the idea, is like the closest like equivalent, but for single player. Whereas with this, it's like, yeah, no, this is like team volleyball.
Because it is a team ass sport.
No, because this is the variations of volleyball too. Like Olympic level volleyball has just two players, but it's like two player volleyball. This is like professional, like, team volleyball, where you just... Well, now I just know what a setter is, and, like, a left rear striker, right rear striker, and center striker.
It does a really good job of very slowly telling you how the game works, and I like that, like, it's not just one character who's the audience stand-in who doesn't
it's
know
about... several. No, they have several aspects, like...
Exactly.
For...
You have Hinata, who, like, knows some things but doesn't know all other things, and then you have Takeda, the teacher.
Takeda, yeah, who's trying to be the coach, but it's perfect, because it's, like, for actual volleyball plays, you're learning it, and for, like, volleyball, like, sort of rulings that are just more field stuff and, like, general terms, that you have, like... Takeda getting explained it, and it's cool. It's cool that they're like, and even the veteran characters are like, when they learn new shit, like when Tadashi is like, what the fuck was that? And it's just when the older guy, like the fucking the neighborhood like team, does like the slow like low power
slow serve.
Yeah, the slow serve, which none of them have like, they can't comprehend it. It's like, oh yeah, this is just a thing you learn as adults. You don't have to fucking put all your power into a serve. As long as it gets to the court and it hits the ground, it's a point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's less of a technique, and more of just a thing you learn when you grow up. And to actually apply that is very different, because, you know, energetic high school boys versus 20-somethings who've gone through everything and are kind of fucking tired.
You know you're really in the game when you watch a play and you and the characters in the show say out loud, "Nice kill!"
Nice kill. I love when they say fucking nice kill.
Or chance ball.
Chance, I fucking hate chance ball so much, because when it happens, I'm like, oh my fucking god, what's gonna happen?
Chance ball!
Chance
ball. Or one touch.
You know, having it in the dub also, like, gets the terms, like, better to me, because that's just them saying the English terms.
Like, yeah, exactly. And they do it in the Japanese as well.
I know.
Say, nice kill, one touch, chance ball.
I know. I guess it's more just like... Oh, wait. Are they saying the term...
in English, in Japanese, yes, they say chanceboru.
I'm trying to say, like, is how they're saying it in the sub, how they say it, like, for Japanese volleyball, as opposed to, like, English, like, American, like, volleyball?
I'm not sure. I know that in both the Japanese, like, in the anime, in the Japanese, in the sub, they say chance ball. The words chance ball, and they say one touch and nice kill.
Okay.
So, that might just be an actual volleyball thing.
Whatever it is, it helps me to, like, get the sport better. I just hope that I'm not, like, if I ever watch volleyball and I say that out loud, people are like, what the fuck are you saying? Nobody says it like that. I'm like, oh, fuck. Haikyuu lied to me.
I feel like a loser.
Well, yeah, pretty much. Oh, God. This show's so good. Yeah. It makes me, like, I hate saying this. It makes me regret not doing a fucking sport. It's one of those, like... good sports anime, or like, damn.
Man, high school volleyball, high school sports really are the most important thing.
Damn, these kids really are fucking dumb as bricks.
That's my favorite thing about, like, the dub, again, we mentioned it, the dub really captures the boys will be boys, and the, like, absolute stupidity of high school boys.
I just remember the part where it's like, Kageyama, why don't you go to Aoi Josai? It's like, oh, I did apply, but they rejected me, so I had to try. I tried their entrance exam, and I failed it. It was like,
it was Shiratori Zawa.
Shiratori Zawa. They said no to me. I'm like, oh.
Or Kageyama and Hinata calling each other butt wads.
Like, God.
I mentioned that Tsukishima and Ishinoya are my two favorites, but you know who my sleeper favorite is, actually?
Oh.
Is Suga.
Suga's cool.
I love Suga.
I like Suga a lot because the show feels to, like, intentionally pity him as, like, oh yeah, you're not Kageyama, you're not the main setter. And it's just, every time they go back to him, he's like, yeah, I know that. But I want us to win. I don't want to be given pity points and then have us lose because I'm not Kageyama. Like, this is fucking serious here. We're not giving me the setter role just so I feel good about my high school years. Like, no, if you want me to feel good, we're going to win and get to nationals because we're Karasuno. And it's just hearing him say that, or like, hearing him say something to that extent, and just that, like, the fire to want the team to win over, like, personal achievements is...
his own desires, yeah.
And it's like, no, he does... And then the parts where it's like... It's like, we did it. We beat Daytech.
Yeah, Daytech, yeah.
We beat Date. And it's like, yeah, that was pretty cool. But it wasn't... But I would have liked it if I was on the team. It was like... Oh, sorry about the Daichi. It's like, nah, man, that means you're in the game. That means you really want to play. That means you're ready to go anytime. It's like, that's all, you still got a fire in you. And I'm like, damn. I love all of the guys, but I think I really like the third years the most because they really do a good job making them feel like they've gone through, like, their arcs. But, okay, they've gone through arcs, but not their, like, last arcs.
Yes.
Especially Asayu, because he, like, was out of the game for a bit.
Each of them has, like, a thing. Like, Suga, you mentioned the thing with Suga, and then, like, Asahi has his confidence problems, which is kind of, like, the crux of, like, that one arc where we get Nishinoya and him back on the team. And then you have Daichi. Daichi's whole deal is that, like, Daichi is, like, an archetype that I really appreciate, and, like, and it's an archetype that exists in a lot of sports, or, like, anything remotely related to sports, like even fight anime. The guy who's just kind of like perfectly average, but perfectly average at everything. You know what I mean? Like, he's just a solid, good
player.
He's
the Rock. That's why you see
Captain. He's the Rock. Like, he's the foundation on which the team can make their plays.
He's never going to, like, be like a super ace, but it doesn't matter. He just wants to play the game, and he wants to make sure that they, like, play to the best of their abilities. And he amps the team up too. He amps other teams up when he was talking to the girl from the girls volleyball team. And that, like, even though they lost, like, I'm so glad they had that happen. Like, they showed that off, because, like, it didn't feel like they were showing, like, oh, the girl team sucks. It was like, no, the girl team just, they fucked up. They weren't taking the thing seriously, and that's when they lost. But they came back from a loss, like, emotionally. They were like, they got amped up and were like, you know what? We lost because we fucked up, but we're going to get them next time. The show is really good at making you take losses. Or, like, characters taking losses.
Yeah. I love the, when they lose the Alba Josai game, and there's that emotional moment when Kagame was about to apologize to Hinata for giving him the ball. And Hinata is so fucking mad. Like, don't ever apologize to me ever again for giving me the ball. Fuck you. And it's like,
that was
so real.
That was so fun. Dude. Hinata, for the most, like, the most part, is like, I thought he was gonna be much more like brash. He kinda is, but it's more of like a blustery thing. That was the first time where I'm like, oh, he's like pissed.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you ever apologize for, again, another charged emotional moment in sports entertainment of like, don't you ever apologize for giving me a ball ever again, or I, like,
yep. And they're about to have a fucking fist fight.
A fist fight over, by the way, both of them say that the other is good. Too good. Like, that's the best fucking part, is that they're not, like, getting mad at, like, oh, you're trash. It's like, no, I'm trash. I shouldn't ever do that ever again. It's like, no, you're the fucking best. That's why I need you to be on your shit, asshole. It's like, no, you're too good. That's why you can't, you need better sense, dipshit. And
like, no, you're the best. No, you're the best. Fuck you. No, fuck you.
Oh, my God.
It's like, God, just kiss already.
No, I don't. It's not like that!
Are you kidding me? It's heated drama between men.
It's heated sports entertainment. You don't understand. It's not like that.
It really is.
Blue Lock is like that because Blue Lock is much more basal of a show. This is about the honor of the sport, as I have realized in these 25 episodes. I will stand by that until
I don't know, man. Did you see? Oh God, it just has a name. It's Kuro and the setter from Nekomai just had his name. Fucking
Kenma.
Yeah, Kenma. Kuro and Tenma? Like, Kenma, are you fucking kidding me? Also, Hinata and Kenma. Fucking gay. Felt that energy, right?
Kuro and Kenma, that's just high school shit. That is just, you have that one autistic friend that you fuck with heavy, and just, you're ride or die.
Yeah.
Kenma, by the way, fucking just actually autistic. Like, that is...
Oh, actually, for like, sure. Like, 110%.
The fact that it's like, okay, it's like, so, like, social cues things, like, okay, but also in like the, oh yeah, he also has the Sherlock fucking mind palace, because his social anxieties and like lack of like social cues meant that he read every person's movements so they know what to do, to the point where it translated into volleyball, and now because of, he knows people are going to do based on like eye contact information.
Yeah.
So
and then
he like,
yeah, reading, using your autism powers for good. And you know who else is autistic? Fucking Kageyama.
I think every center in the show is autistic.
I don't think Suga's autistic. I think Suga's just weird.
I think Suga's just a normal guy.
Like, Suga's just a dude. Suga's just a guy.
Like his whole deal is that he is the just a like chill guy of the group, but like. Every other setter is like some kind of like autistic savant, and how they choose to like do that is like, okay, Kenma does it because, you know, team stuff. It's fucking Kageyama could be a little bit like brash and rude, but he gets the job done. And Oikawa is doing it for evil. Oikawa is doing it to like he has evil autism.
Kageyama and his whole, like, I'm really bad at reading other people's emotions thing is like this kid is so autistic.
I think it also could just be like a joke of less like that, like actually more. I say it more for Kadima. The other two are just like bad at reading people. Oh, bad at reading people, and also Oikawa is good at reading people. And that's like the like a dichotomy joke of like, yeah, these two centers are so fucking opposite. It's not even funny.
Yeah, like Kageyama's like whole the crux of like his arc is like
opening up to people.
Opening up to people, and also like as a setter, a setter's job, like, and Oikawa mentions this, is that a setter's job is to bring out the best in the other players, and Kageyama took it the wrong way, and like he tried to like dictate what other players did in that way, but Oikawa just tries to like bring it out in a different way, and Kageyama will eventually come to his own conclusion about that later, because he's still kind of on that journey even at the end of this season.
Oikawa's way of doing it is he's so fucking annoying that I have to prove I'm better than him, and that's why his team fucking does all this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like he just gets guys mad and it works and they win. Cause I'd hate it if the fucking genius prince playboy gets to fucking tell me what to do, but also I'm so mad I'm gonna prove him wrong. I'm gonna prove that I can't handle this, and then I do, and then he's fine with it. I'm like, fuck that guy. Jackass! God, the fucking the shit where they like fucking. Oh my god, I forgot the Nekoma team, how they all were like do that chant about like we're the plasma
and we are plasma.
We are plasma. We keep the body flowing. We move the blood and keep it active for the brain. And it's like that sounds so dumb, but then like you see how they play. It's like they're not like fucking. They're not aces. They're not crazy fucking. They don't have like a Hinata that like do these crazy like spikes. But they're just a solid unit. They work as like a single unit and can just like adapt to anything as long as Kenma sets for them.
And it does the thing of, and a lot. This is another thing in a lot of sports anime where the main character team will be an aggressive team. And their rival team will be a defensive team, you know? And, like, that's Nekoma's thing. They are, like, a very defensive and passive team. They don't make, like you said, they don't make flashy plays.
They're cats.
They just make plays that win points.
They're cats. They wait for the time to strike.
Exactly.
As opposed to birds who always swoop down and fly. Oh, God.
The dumpster battle, baby.
I need to know what that movie is about, because when they said like the trash tin battle, I was like, hey, wait, isn't there a movie about that? Is there like
the dumpster battle?
Because I'm like, oh wait, so there's a movie about that. That means that they lose this. How many runbacks do they get with these guys?
I can't tell you that.
How many? Like, hold on, is this gonna be a thing?
This is the rival. The long running rivalry is between Nekoma and Karasuno.
Are these the Blitzkrieg boys?
They might be the Blitzkrieg boys.
Are these the guys? No, okay. I don't think Haikyuu.
They're not the Blitzkrieg boys. They're
team fucking.
The Blitzkrieg boys are later.
Ray's team. The team that always comes back.
Yeah, the beat. Yeah,
the White Tigers.
Yeah. They're like a rifle team, and they stick around. And in fact, there are a couple of times where the story focuses on them, and we see one of their games.
Okay, because like I like them, and I noticed that they were getting some focus, and like definitely like not the main like as important as the main cast, but like definitely guys you should keep out for. And they have unique designs, and also we have a design for each of their members, which means that they're probably going to be somewhat important.
Yeah. They're like a group that sticks around. They are like there's going to be more members that you're going to see later, and they're probably one of the most prominent teams in the series.
Darren Carson.
I'm looking forward to seeing Shiro Torizawa, because that Shiro Torizawa game is so fucking good. Like the entirety of season 3 is the Shiro Torizawa game.
Oh.
Oh, so good. Honestly, I think we might just do season 2 and 3 together, because that season 3 is really short and it's just the Shiro Torizawa game.
God, I feel like... Because, yeah, no, I definitely want to watch this. This is like... With Slime, it was like, oh, this is nice. If you ever wanted me to watch with you, I'd hop on. With, like, Haikyuu, if you wanted the review, the actual, like, honest-to-God review, 8 fucking thumbs up, man. Like, I'm invested. It helps that the main character and the main team's colors are, like, orange, black, and white. Or just orange. They're just... This show is very orange. This is a very orange fucking show.
There's a reason that it was popular. Oh, man. IQ good, and I'm super glad that you enjoyed it. And I'm looking forward to talking about it more later when we do more of the show.
Yeah, like, this is the first season, so there's not much to really say other than just, like... I don't remember any other games that... Like, no, like, all the... Like, I could tell that, like, the first couple of games were, like, just build-up. The first episode is, like, it's important... But it's like, no, this is where shit starts. And I think that's, like, a really cool framing, is, like, his first game ever, he fucking loses it. That's why, again, when you brought up Beyblade and that happening to the fucking, the Beyblade kid, I'm like, oh, shit. That's, like, what a daring kind of, like, thing to start off with a character is, like, have them lose. Well, I mean, I say daring in that, like, it means that you're not seeing, like, a person who is the best keep winning. You're seeing an underdog. And underdog stories always fucking ring so well in sports, in any kind of sports media. But when they have it be like, oh, the underdog, there were two underdogs. Because whereas Hinata, like, fucking lost, just, you know, he lost the game because he didn't have the right team. Kageyama lost his team because he wasn't playing the game right. He wasn't playing the same game as his teammates. So now you have these two guys, like, that have to, like, sort of build up together. And it's just this, it just shows the power of sports.
And Hinata being like, you have any idea how lucky you are to even have a team? I've never had a team. And Hinata learning what it's like to actually have a team and people that he can, like... rely on to cover his shortcomings.
It's the power of sports, the power of human beings, naturally social creatures, who just, that we are, getting together for the common goal of, just a common goal. This is Avengers-type shit. And it's fucking high school volleyball, but hey, it doesn't matter whether it's high school volleyball or fucking anything. It
doesn't matter.
It's just like, coming together to win together.
That is a conversation that one of the characters actually has with somebody. It's like, look, it's just a sport. Why are you guys get so into it? And like that's a question a character asks another character, and that happens later. We'll get into that because it's one of my favorite things in the entire show, and it leads season 3. And it leads to, in season 3, one of my favorite moments in anything. All I'm going to say, for people who know, I'm just going to say, it's just one block. And that's all I'll say. People who know the moment I'm talking about, they know it's just one block. Thinking about that moment constantly. But that's season 3. We'll get there when we get there. But,
Season 1,
super
good.
Glad you enjoyed it.
Yes. Season, I was going to say, just to reaffirm, season 1, very good.
Yep. And we'll probably talk about this show more sometime in the near future. But that'll be next time. Hope you enjoyed the show. I think we did pick what we're going to do for the next episode. Yeah, we're watching the Mutant Mayhem, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Mutant Mayhem, and the subsequent TV show that kind of goes with Mutant Mayhem. Won't be our first time talking about TMNT on the show, but, you know, that's not surprising considering how many different versions of TMNT there are. But anyway, hopefully we get that out in a relatively timely manner, but you know how it is with us. Hope you enjoyed the show.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to follow us, you can follow us on... I don't have an Acme podcast or Blue Sky yet, but I have an Acme podcast on Tumblr. You can follow acmepodcast@tumblr.com. And if you want to follow us individually, you can follow me at Kaiju Emperor at Blue Sky. And you can also follow me at Kaiju Emperor on Tumblr. What about you, Cenk?
I am also on the Blue Sky with the handle Cenk Junk JPEG. That is JPEG with an E. Cenk Junk JPEG at Blue Sky. I tweet about random ass bullshit there. But, you know, it's pretty much the only place I'm actually trying to be active now, because Twitter just keeps getting worse. The guy who owns it is part of the government now. The guy who owns it wants to remove the government from the government.
Anyway, we'll see you guys next time. Don't be a jackass. Bye.
Bye.